From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Microsoft, IBM, Apple, SAP, not household names in GIS, and yet the era of big data and the promise of analytics rests with these companies. We'll cover some recent announcements and discuss how these companies might impact the future of geospatial technology. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60 minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
First, Adina, I have to reorient my thinking about the nimbleness of these giants of IT, IBM, SAP, Microsoft, Apple. You don't often associate business transformation with companies that have been around as long as some of these, though certainly Apple stands out as a true innovator. And yet, in order to pull off the promise of assimilating and integrating and analyzing the volume and velocity of data we are seeing, I would suggest that this might only be accomplished with the tools supplied by these organizations. And one caveat before we start, not in the scope of the discussion today are Oracle and Google, two significant players that should be included. But for today's discussion, I want to solely focus on IBM, Apple, SAP, and Microsoft. And I have to alter, but not entirely retract my opinion of Microsoft. They've made some incredible leaps in location intelligence applications. The Power BI and Power Map apps are extremely powerful. And I saw a demo last week of how Excel is used to power a large table of data. And I was blown away at the ability to quickly filter in an almost natural language query construct to retrieve data. And I don't know how many of our readers and listeners have seen Power Map, and maybe you haven't unless you're a Power BI user or an Office 365 user, because if you are not, you probably have not seen it. Now, Power Map was launched in 2013, and Microsoft seems to have buried what I would term as an extremely powerful tool. And as you know, I've been pretty critical of Microsoft's focus on location technology. It recently announced that it will discontinue MapPoint, which is no great surprise. But in general, they seem not to want to promote some of their other tools in geospatial, such as Power Map or even SQL Spatial. But in looking again at what is possible, Microsoft has done a phenomenal job with these products. I really think that their advantage here is analytics and secondly, visualization being a very close second. These tools are integrated with some of the more popular desktop and now cloud solutions that we've seen for years, like Excel and Access. Now, some of the videos that we've put in our show notes, I think, demonstrate some of the real power of this technology. Now, I guess you've watched some of the videos, so I'd be curious as to your take about Microsoft's advances in using location.
Well, I have to agree with you. Some of the stuff I looked at really was, it was pretty, it looked valuable. I think the real challenge that Microsoft has is to distinguish these offerings from what's available from the Oracles and the Googles and the other BI players that I'm less familiar with, that you're far more familiar with. Distinguish what is better about it. Is it just simply that it's plugged into the Microsoft ecosphere? And if it is, that's fine, but let's make that very clear. The other thing that I think is really interesting is, and I think we're seeing this a little bit across many companies, which is first you sort of dabble in the consumer side of spatial and mapping, as Microsoft did with MapPoint and Streets and Trips.
Right.
You learn what you can from that. You realize you don't make a lot of money off of that. Yeah. And then you sort of graduate into the business space. And it feels like Microsoft is ready to do that. The real question is, can they tell their story to the right people to get it out there? The fact that you suggest that most of our listeners and readers haven't played with PowerMap, I think is correct. And I think that suggests to me that Microsoft doesn't know who to speak to yet.
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, I suggest that the technology and the application is kind of buried a little bit. Unless you've seen what they're trying to do with PowerMap, you don't really know much about it. They haven't been talking to the audience I would think they would want to talk to. And maybe that's just because it's just not in our realm. Maybe they have been talking to the people that are using Power BI and say, hey, by the way, you can use this cool little mapping tool and it's a great visualization. I don't even know whether they've explored the true power of the analytical side as much as some of the other companies have tried to raise that issue. But just in terms of looking at the visualization capabilities, I was really quite impressed. But I was also really impressed with this ability to massage these large Excel tables in a natural language format, which to me, it really is some of the real power that we've been trying to get at for years, which is, can I type a semantic query and get an answer? And I think they're really approaching that. And of course, the natural step there is, you know, can I visualize this information, whether it's a chart, a graph, or a map? I want to move on to Apple and IBM, and I can't think of a more unlikely tandem. And yet I can see the reason for the latest announcement of these two companies working together on enterprise applications. I mean, there's a partnership that they've announced. There's some financial arrangement that were also not disclosed. Teams from both companies are working jointly. And in an interview by the New York Times, the buzzwords that were flying around between CEOs Cook and Rometty were things like business transformation and delivery on the promise of mobility and complementary benefits to enterprise customers, scaling the enterprise down to the hands of the user. These are great words, and I just had to chuckle a little bit about the relationship of seeing, or I should say the juxtaposition of seeing Ginni Rometty and Tim Cook next to each other. Generally, when two big companies like this work together, the failure rate is pretty high, unless they can focus in on just a few business problems, which is what they say they are doing. But in the domain of geospatial, both companies have huge investments, but it's really not clear how they might impact geo, except in one area that was only briefly touched on in that interview, and that's mobile, and specifically mobile and retail. IBM for years has been big on point of sale systems, you know, cash registers and whatnot. And now iBeacons are becoming huge for Apple. The potential to link enterprise systems of IBM with the iBeacon/mobile technology of Apple, I think could be killer for the retail industry. I don't know what you made of the interview, but I thought that the undercurrent there had a lot of potential.
I did too, and I also was struck by the weirdness of, to me, the oldest of old-fashioned companies, IBM, and the innovative jumpstart that is Apple. And trying to plug those two things together is a little odd. And yet, IBM with his business focus, Apple traditionally has had a consumer focus and maybe a little bit on the education side. But if you look at what Apple has done in retail, in its own retail, right? They have that down to a science. They have the customer service, and a lot of it is underpinned by the technology, mm-hmm. right? When you walk into the Apple store, they know you're there. They're expecting you. There are no cash registers. You don't all of that. And as an Apple user, I love that. Mm-hmm. If they can combine that with this point of sale stuff and much more mature communications with the consumers and within the business, mm-hmm. I can only see more and more money for both companies. But you're right, there's some cultural things going on. And the other data point that I found in that article was they are expecting to launch 100 apps starting this fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, are those little tiny apps, or are those all hitting against this united database? I don't know what that means, but that sounds like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they certainly intimated that there were very selected teams working together. They certainly wanted to focus on mobile. You know, it really remains to be seen. But I think if these two folks got together and really focused in on some of these truly innovative mobile applications, you could see it. You really could see a business transformation.
You could. And the other thing that they really have going for them is the population of people who carry Apple phones and their potential for sensing all kinds of things, as they already do, but even perhaps more so, and taking advantage of that in the big data space.
Right, right. So the last company I want to illustrate is SAP. Now, unless you're a huge enterprise client, you don't really hear much about SAP anymore. But I had to focus in on a demo that I saw at the Esri User Conference last week. So I went into the SAP booth, and they had this kind of a large video screen, touch screen, whatever it is. And they showed a demonstration of how the German football team, the team that just won the FIFA World Cup, how SAP was analyzing the movement of the team. They set up 8 cameras around a football field, and what they did was they tracked the movements of players, essentially using, I guess, an integrated system of sensors and the movement of the players to look at how the defenses were set up, how the offenses were set up, and then we're taking the data points for how fast does any individual run. It was a real interesting demonstration in a spatial context of how you could utilize data. And it was a great example of taking something very simple and fun, you know, and recent with the example of the World Cup, and trying to demonstrate what SAP is doing with big data analytics, because they were literally taking thousands of data points in near real time and analyzing them to construct what they were doing. How do you perform better defenses? And to me, the logical extension of that in a spatial context is assimilating big data and looking at movements of data and movements of things, and could be goods and services, could be inventory. And I would look at it from a retailing application, because I saw the movements of people on a soccer field. It wasn't a great leap for me to see movements inside of a retail setting. You know, how do people move around a store? How do you position displays? How do you position products? How do you price products? Although SAP didn't make that leap, it was running in my mind of what you could do with this technology. So I see great potential in SAP to getting into the location space, and certainly they were there at the Esri UC demonstrating this in a spatial context. It's a case now of SAP making the case to more spatial users. So I was really thrilled to see SAP kind of demonstrate their spatial capabilities.
I am fascinated that you looked at that demo and immediately thought in-store. How can we use this in-store to sell more product and so forth? I immediately went to the next scale up, which is, how do I manage my network of stores and suppliers and get the stuff to the right place at the right time, which is just like having the right player at the right place to receive the pass from the other player.
Right, right. Right.
I like the fact that you said SAP wasn't talking about this in the context of business, but you immediately made the leap.
Right,
and I think SAP did that on purpose, and I think it is absolutely brilliant, because what is better than saying, look, we had a good soccer team, we used some tools, we gathered some data, we tweaked some things, and they went on and won the World Cup. What can you do with your team, be it, in your case, in-store or scale it up, our network of stores in the Northeast or our network of partners worldwide, and tweak them to win the World Cup of making more money, or whatever your corporate goal is? Because you're right, it's the same kinds of data. Who is where? How fast are they moving? What is moving? Do we have the right stuff at the right place?
Right, right. It was funny talking to the representative from SAP in there, and you know, when I started saying this to him about what I saw, he was like, "Oh my gosh, you get it," you know. So I hope SAP makes that case to other people who were flitting around the booth.
It'll be very interesting to check out other coverage of the ESRI User Conference to see how people understood that demonstration. I'm sure there are people who said, "Oh wow, they used it to power the World Cup. That's awesome."
Yeah,
and that's great, and that's fun, and that gets SAP's name out, and that's valuable. But did they take it to that logical next level?
Right,
which we see as logical next level. Not everybody looks at the world the same way we do. The other thing that's really interesting about SAP is, unlike Microsoft and Apple and IBM, SAP for a long time has had a strong partnership with ESRI, and that gives them some insight more into the traditional ESRI community, which these other players I don't really have.
Well, and I also should point out that this was an application of SAP HANA, which they've recently made a fairly big announcement that it was spatially enabled and not necessarily connected to business objects, which is which they acquired some time ago. So this was kind of a separate application in the business intelligence space. So a little different play for SAP, really focusing in on the capabilities of HANA. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to point you to an open call for presentations for our Geoenergy Summit. They'll be held November 12th and 13th in Huntsville, Alabama. More information can be found at geohuntsville.com/conference. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag, or send us a tweet @directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.